O Lord, we ask that your presence will illuminate our minds and help us to understand more of you and of your work in us and in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How do you read the Bible? How do you seek to understand what it says in its strange and sometimes difficult language, images, and even uncomfortable stories? Well, I think it's an important question to consider. When I was young, I remember going to Bible study and recognizing that I had some understanding of what it was about, and that every time I would hear a text, there would be things in that text which simply reinforced what I already knew. And I kind of learned to be uncomfortable with that, because there are always other words and suggestions or ideas or something in the background which I didn't understand, and that I actually learned more if I could find those points of entry into what I didn't know, to pick out the word that seemed unusual or odd or different or not what you would have expected. This method of looking for what is difficult about the text, I think, is actually quite important, because it makes for a genuine dialogue with the biblical text. This is true for any reading for understanding, probably, so it's not special to the Bible, but I think it's particularly useful in relation to the Bible, mainly because so much of what we have in Christian faith is, by definition almost, beyond our understanding. That truth about God is something that we do not actually know very well or understand very well. That in fact, in studying the Bible, we are seeking to be encountered by God, not as an object that we study, but as a living presence that somehow speaks to us and illuminates us. The value of Bible study with others is that we also have the benefit of different points of view, of different experiences, of different questions, different interests, and what you might call the richness of dialogue. So that every bit of dialogue opens up an edge somewhere of this difference, of this unfathomable reality in which we all sort of swim, which is the interpersonal space, and I would say the space within God, which encounters us in our deepest spiritual moments. There was a time when I didn't like Bible study much, and that was a time when I was too busy doing other things and, in a sense, trying to apply what I had already learned. And I was quite impatient with the Bible, because it never seemed to get very far beyond what I then thought of as first base. You know, that God is. God really is. and there's not a lot more to say except for a few footnotes. This sense that the Bible always said the same thing. And then I went to Tonga, where I was asked to teach theology. And in Tonga, I made the decision that I would very clearly not try to teach theology from Western theological texts, because Tongan people, I was told, read the teacher, not the books. They listened to who you were and what you were on about. They didn't worry too much about the more abstract ideas, which didn't necessarily land well with them. The best decision I ever made was to have every class that I encountered over 5 years in Tonga based on one particular Bible passage that somehow gave an entry into the topic of the day. That the theology curriculum was largely organized around topics, and this approach worked quite well. And what was very interesting to me is how I rediscovered the Bible, in a sense. I rediscovered the excitement of finding these particular texts that lit up, you know, one particular piece of the theological landscape that I was endeavoring to explore together with the students. And not only that, each text would somehow suggest a connection with other texts, either through a particular word or idea, or possibly just historically, that it would refer back to some other text or quote a text from somewhere else, and that when you went back to search that second text, you found a new context. And the new context gave quite an interesting vantage point on the way in which it had been applied in the first text that you were looking at. So there's something about this intertextuality of the Bible, which is really rich and I would say inexhaustible. So these are some of the discoveries that I felt that I made during my time in Tonga. And it's stayed with me ever since that it is really worthwhile to take the journey into any part of the Bible that seems alive. There's a sense of the liveliness of the text, which I regard as a good guide as to what is worth opening up and spending time with. So I'm in the process with others of developing an offering to our congregation for anyone who's interested, and please contact me if you are at all interested, on Monday nights for 6 weeks, starting on the 16th of August, not the not next Monday, but the one after. And we will read together the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. Now, why Ephesians, you might ask? The reason I'm particularly interested in Ephesians right now is that it seems to me an idea worth testing, that Ephesians is the book in the Bible which is, if you like, the closest in theme, in style, and in almost in language to our Uniting Church theology. If you look at the basis of union, I think you will recognize that it has a very similar structure to the letter to the Ephesians. It's not quite as challenging and not quite as prayerful, not quite as exalted in some of its passages. It doesn't have quite the same range as the letter does, but the structure is similar. It starts with where we are now, moves into what God has done in Christ, and moves on to how God is calling us into his work through the life of the church. And I think that's pretty close to what we find in Ephesians. Secondly, the basis of union actually quotes from Ephesians in quite significant ways. The whole idea that every Christian has been given a gift by God, and that gift entails the service that we can offer within the life of the church and for God's mission in the world. This idea is very central in chapter 4 of Ephesians. It's almost a direct quotation. And you don't find this idea quite so strongly expressed elsewhere, I believe. I think another point of real importance is the emphasis upon what God has done and is doing, that we are in fact being moulded and shaped and grown up, if you like, through the work of the Holy Spirit in us, that when we respond to promptings of the Spirit, we grow in grace, that we actually do change, we actually mature in important ways. The idea also is there in Ephesians, right in the chapter 1, that there is a secret providential plan of God, that it is God with whom we have to deal throughout our history, so that everything that we do actually matters in relation to God. I think a third thing which is very central is the kind of mutuality of relationship between Christians. In the letter, we are one body and we have a mutual need for each other, and we have a mutual love for each other, which encourages and allows us to build each other up in love. So these are the kinds of connections that I think are there in the text of Ephesians. Let me just talk a little bit more about the actual passage that we read. It seems to me very, very interesting that it starts with the importance of telling truth, of speaking truth to each other, that truth is what we live from. Truth is what we need to base our action and our own life upon, and that we do that together with each other, that we share the truth, we share in the truth, and that that is in fact part of how we are built up in Christ. It also talks a lot about the turning away from unworthy attitudes and behaviour. And instead of labelling all of that simply as sin and the idea of a law which says, you know, that that's bad, it's really saying these are disordered tendencies in us which take us away from the love of God. All of the backbiting, slander, resentment, I would say nasty feelings towards others may come up, but if they do, we should recognize them for what they are and find ways to put them aside, to turn back to the Spirit of God, to the love that we owe to each other. Easily said, not easily done in every situation. Nevertheless, the challenge is there. The vision of real mutuality, of real communion, that is in fact what we are invited into in the church and in, I would say, the power of the Holy Spirit. I think I won't say any more about it here, because this is more an invitation to a journey than it is something you didn't already know. But I think it's important to recognize the value of truthfulness in the building up of connection, and discernment of what is really true will always be a challenge for us, because it's so easy to get it wrong. It's so easy to stay with our own story, to believe our own point of view, and not really take seriously the challenges that are there to our own point of view. Well, I'd like to finish on a high note, but I won't do that. I'll simply acknowledge that this has not been an easy reflection to offer, and it's lacking in what you might call a punchline. But I do ask you to read the letter of Paul to the Ephesians and see how it affects you. So let me stop there and offer a brief final prayer. Lord, may these inadequate words somehow also connect us with each other and with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.